Thank you for joining us. This is Trinity Squad Gaming, and we are your hosts. Wait, that's not right. Psych! Hello, folks. Welcome back to the wide world of wargaming. As always, I am your host, Vincent Morgado, and joining me alone is Mr. Jeff Wilder.
Hello.
We are unfortunately minus Mr. Drew Bishop, as he is on a trip with his lovely fiance, but we are lucky enough to be joining, as he said, by Trinity Gaming's own Mr. Dan Morris.
Hello.
We are very pleased you decided to join us, sir. Thank you very much. Did you catch any of the excitement at the Denver System Open?
Oh yeah, I was glued to my glued to Twitch for the last three games. It was there was some really good flying out there.
What is your opinion on what some people are calling, especially me, the greatest play they have ever seen in X-Wing, the Mitchell Hurst maneuver?
it was really good. I mean, yeah, there's not really much for me to say on that one.
Yeah, folks, we are going to be posting the Twitch link to that one. I dropped my phone and ran out of the room.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. And you know, as a quick draw player back in the day, you were always looking for that play. Mm-hmm. Like you were, that was the dream, is getting quick draw, one shield down, and being able to take the attack on somebody without any tokens. Mm-hmm. But I still did not see that coming. I was like, oh, he's just going to two banker. I think he two banker, three bank down, and you know, he'll probably get a pretty good shot, but then boom. That was pretty awesome. And then he blanked out.
Oh my God, I know. I think everyone wanted to be, so it goes, for those who don't know, Mitchell Hurst flew quick draw over an asteroid, took the damage, triggering quick draw's bonus attack ability, rolled a 4-die range one attack on Wedge Antilles. Blanked out on the first roll, reburned his lock, re-rolled into hit, crit, crit. Wedge rolls natties in defense.
And the Wedge has two hit points left.
Yes. And the remaining crit comes up direct hit and drops Wedge like a hot rock. I mean, folks, you couldn't write that. That is one of those moments. Go ahead.
The odds of that happening... overall, of him killing Wedge with that play, or somewhere in the vicinity of 1 in 5, the odds of it happening the way it actually did are like 1 in 100,000. No kidding, it was just insane.
Yeah, we got insane. Into it with some people about the actual odds, but we're of course not gonna lend them any credence. We enjoy our statistical drama. Dan, what was your favorite game that you watched over the weekend?
I started watching when Sam was facing the you know, Knuckles, the future winner of it. Mm-hmm. Just because I know Sam Cimino. I've been playing with him a lot, you know, since I started. But it was sad to watch that game because I mean it was kind of like a clinic for Andrew. He had that game from turn one.
It was very clear that Andrew wrote that list to break up the Phantoms, and he flew that. Yeah, I think clinical is about the only word.
Beautiful. Like, just watching that guy fly that list was something else, man.
Yeah. Sam was not happy also with the way he flew. So that makes me a little sad. I'm really happy for him that he got as far as he did. But it makes me sad that he felt bad about that final game, not just losing, just that he felt bad about the way he flew it.
Right.
I did watch the majority of that game, and I felt there were a couple moments where if Sam had maybe pulled something a bit unexpected, maybe there was a chance for him to, you know, grab the initiative back and kind of wrong foot his opponent, but it just never materialized that way. And his dice didn't do him any favors either.
Oh, God, no.
We never want to say anybody got diced except Jeff, because it really does happen that way. But you know, we're all friends of Sam here, and we're all very proud of him for doing as well as he did. So applause to Mr. Cimino. I really enjoyed watching Ken Johnson's game, against Phantoms with his Revenants, two of kind of the boogeyman lists in extended right now. that, you know, tend to clash pretty hard. You've got the very mobile, very, very high output Phantoms. And then you've got just these bricks with a turret on top that are kind of always trying to chase them around and strategically bump each other. And, you know, praying that Drea can get her arc on somebody to get those rerolls. And I think it can be a very interesting contrast in styles.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely you're absolutely right. It's definitely a contrast. There's a list that basically cannot stop, and there's a list that can just crab walk whenever it wants to, and you don't get much different. You know, it's four quality juked shots versus what is that? Seven not so high quality but modified shots from the Drea list.
And if the locks ever do close in on the Phantoms, they can just delete one. One-for-one trade.
Yeah.
Were there any? I also want to talk about one list in particular, flown by Mr. Ken Cho, that is starting to pop up more and more, and it's the dual Christmas Tree Inquisitor list. I have said, and I will say, I think the Inquisitors might be. I'm sorry, the not Inquisitor, the Infiltrators. I think we're starting to notice the Infiltrators might be a little underpriced.
I may or may not have bought two Sith Infiltrators like within the last week. I may or may not have. There's no proof.
We can neither confirm nor deny. He paid cash. No one saw it. The security tapes vanished.
Honestly, I think that list is crazy. I mean, my only worry about it is it's kind of giving me flashbacks. Like there's so much going on each ship,
like Dengaru.
And so efficient with all of its actions and non-actions just because of the Force. It's reminding me a lot of the bad card game, which was X-Wing 1.0. You know what I mean? It's just it's about the cards you bring, not the ships you have.
Yeah, and that and Handbrake Han are both giving us PTSD for 1E.
Yep. That said, I mean, it's still a pretty sweet list. Like, it's got a lot going for it.
It's very high output with the proton torpedoes and the Force mod. So, you know, they only need to take the lock once and then they can kind of fly however they want. You know, the whole upgrades to get them up to that 11 health. Jeff, I know you love that very much.
Love that.
And, you know, Count Dooku is just hard, beyond hard to kill.
He is an init 3, and he is tough to kill.
It is an extremely you kind of almost have to put him in a box, not a traditional kill box where you put three arcs on him, but literally have people coming in from every angle so he can't roll away.
Yep.
And you know, it just seems to me that number one, I don't think large ships should ever have a one hard. I think one of the drawbacks of being a large is you should not be able to outturn stunt fighters. And that was my immediate problem with these ships, is that they actually cannot be consistently, they cannot be outrun by small fighters.
Well, outrun and outturned are different. Right. Small fighters have never been able to outrun large ships ever. It's just, you know, it's the geometry of the game. A large ship moves faster with the same maneuver template.
Same maneuvers, right? It's good that not as many ships and as many large ships have boost anymore, but it's still really hard to run away from large ships as a small ship.
Yes, it is.
You literally have to outmaneuver them.
Man, it's really hard to outmaneuver something that can outturn the vast majority of small fighters.
Yeah. Now, just to be 100% accurate, The one turn on a large is about the same as a two turn on a small ship in terms of how fast it gets you around in a circle. Your turning radius, in other words. But it's still, I completely agree with you that a large ship just shouldn't have that. And it's red on the Infiltrators, right?
It is red, yes.
Yeah, but still, I mean, they've got so much. What is it, seven Force?
Let's break down, though, the Bell of the Ball. What are they calling? I guess this is a thing that's been popping up in the South. The Hatchet Man. The Vendor Trickshot FCS double torpedo slam OS1 loadout.
So spicy. So spicy.
Yeah.
Vendor is a really, really good meta call there. Just really good meta call.
And, you know, it's when you add Vader and FCS and you have Jenden, you have enough damage to do, you know, to just trade with a lot of lists, you know, that maybe bring more hull points than you.
Is there a bit on that list? I don't remember.
Off the top of my head, I could not tell you, but I'll put it together. Jeff, go ahead, take over for a second.
In addition to the major vendors, just unbelievable offensive output that you can't stop. I mean, he stops his offensive output when he runs out of ordnance and has to reload, and that's when he stops, or when he's dead.
A turn, right? Like he does his pass and then he reloads and he comes in again. That last game was crazy.
He got
two advanced protons that game.
Yeah, like, he was trolling him. He was like, I'm just gonna reload because I can and I want to see what happens. Reload. And
the commentator was like, oh yeah, you know, he's just not gonna shoot so he can proton him to death. Like, I was like, yeah, you know, that'd be funny.
Yeah,
that was so.
And then you've got Jenden as Jenden's the one that. Is he the one that pulls target locks?
No. So Jenden, spend one energy and you become your whole list becomes ghetto E-wings.
So you can target lock across the board. Gotcha.
You can target lock across the board, but not inside range 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's awesome.
So that is really good.
It makes Vendor and Vader extremely efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Palpatine for the Force and the reroll when you need it.
So this list has a 6-point bid.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I thought it had a bid because I thought there were a couple of games where they mentioned that Vendor's at init 4 and he does have to, or he gets to move last because of the bid.
Yeah, that's an extremely efficient list to be able to do what it does, which is two extremely crit-heavy attacks whenever they really, you know, really whenever they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so I'm going to make a controversial call here and say that now that they have shown FFG something I've been saying since 1E, that the advanced slam on the gunboats, they nerfed advanced slam hard on the K-wing and then immediately brought it out for the gunboats. It is incredibly strong for the gunboats. And it's going to take a while, but I will not be surprised to see people start to abuse it now.
Oh, yeah.
Now that the way has been shown. And I think it will eventually get a little bit of a soft nerfing.
And, you know, we should point out Andrew Knuckles is not the only person to do well with advanced slam gunboats. There was a gentleman, Brent Matias, I hope I got his name right, who made the final cut with Vader and Triple New Squadron with Slam and the Assault configuration, which actually was one of the lists that got mentioned as one of the new big boys, I don't know, maybe about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, it's a great control list. And if Vader's got you ion locked, you are in some serious
trouble. Oh, you're just going to get beat to death. He's just going to beat you to death. Because Vader is probably the best, I still say Vader's the best pure damage dealer in the game. Like, if he consistently can get his actions off and keep you target locked, nobody can push crits like he can. Nobody is as reliable in producing paint, really. Like, Vader just shreds people.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dan.
What's up?
If you were going to pick one of the top 18 lists to go through elimination with, which one would you pick?
One of the top 18 lists.
Yeah, all the way down to Dwayne Lehman is.
All right. That's a good question. I think. So, I mean, before 2.0, I was heavy into the Rebel list, so I'd probably pick some flavor of Rebel beef. Because I mean, I played the group hug, the whatever that was called, while it was still good, and I mean, that's the kind of stuff I used to like to play. So that's probably what I'd be most comfortable with out of these top 18.
So that basically looks like John Hennin or Justin Mazuat.
Yeah. Yeah. But for fun, I mean, I think the funnest list was probably Ken Cho's. Like, that looks really fun. The double Sith Infiltrator. So depending on what I'm trying to do, right? If I'm trying to win, I probably go Rebel Beef. And then if I'm trying to have fun, go double Infiltrators.
Gotcha.
And there actually was not a lot of Rebel Beef in the cut, we should say, at this event. I only see really two. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I forgot.
Depends on if you count Justin Mazuat, right? He's got five ships, including three of them with only four hit points. Yeah, exactly.
Well, two Z95s and A. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I definitely go with John Hennin's list.
Yeah.
Then you've got Sean Farley's down there, which is more of the Rebel Beef that we've seen up till now. Yeah, including Cassian, by the way, Vince.
His list and John Hennin's are basically identical. It's the exact same four ships.
Yeah.
Just you get a tactical officer on Sean's list, and then
elusive on 10 numb in the other one.
Yeah.
I almost feel like elusive on 10 numb is almost a point sink. Like I don't really know, you know, to make him equal with Braylon. Because I don't know why you would ever put a defensive mod on a B-Wing. It's just, it's not what they do.
Well, I mean, if you look at the B-Wing's dial, right? They got the one Talons, they got the two Ks. I'm looking at all the reds, right? They got the one hard.
A lot of reds.
You're recharging that charge a lot. Very often, yeah. B-Wings. And then you spend it, like you can just freely spend it pretty much anytime you're getting shot at. So... Mm-hmm. I mean, they only get the one evade dice. Sure, it's not great, but... Oh, no, and you also get the spend a stress to change a focus. So you just... Actually, that's pretty good. I like that. I like elusive on 10 numb.
It's a good cycle. I just...
Yeah.
You know, it clashes with Leia really hard.
I mean, well, you only Leia once every four turns, so yes and no. Right, like you're still doing a lot of 2Ks, 1 Talons with the B. I mean, I would if I'm flying a B wing. I mean, 2Ks is one of my most used moves on the B wing. So,
I tend to find the B wings really conventional because I find when they get into knife fights that without focus tokens, it's really easy to go cold dice on offense, and then you get burned down too quick.
Well, I mean, that doesn't happen with 10 numb, right? I mean,
with 10, it doesn't because he spends it. He's keying from 1.0, so he spends his stress as a focus one, right? Well, all of them.
I'm paranoid. You know, I've played enough games with the two B-Wing, with both of them, that they just aren't reliable enough for my tastes. Let me be perfectly clear.
Right. Well, I'm the guy that brought 4 BZ to my first tournament ever. So, you know.
I think the big thing for B-Wings for me currently is they just don't have the speed when you need the speed. You do not disengage with the B-Wing.
No.
You just don't. The B-Wings, once the B-Wing's in the fight, he's in the fight till he's dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
They
don't benefit from a lot of the, what do you want to call passive defensive mods scattered around the board.
Right.
That a lot of ships do when they get into 3 and 4 defense die with auto thrusters, whereas the B-Wings basically are always on 2 or 3. Or 1, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the time they're 1, but they just soak the damage.
I do agree. Like, elusive is, it almost seems counterintuitive, but the fact is that you're just re-rolling 1 die anyway.
And it's kind of like, what, like 1.5 dice at that point? Or
yeah, kind of. Because like, you're getting, I mean, you're either rolling an evade or a focus if you haven't shot yet. You'll spend your stress, or if you've already shot, you'll spend your stress, or you're just re-rolling for re-rolling for an evade. So on 2 dice, if you're rolling, or 1 die followed by another die, if you're rolling for an evade, you're only not going to get an evade 25 times out of 64. So that's pretty good. Over half the time you're going to get an evade on that 1 die. And that's pretty strong.
How do we feel about Handbrake Han really not appearing in the cut at all? Or I'm sorry, yeah, one list, and it's shall we say different.
Han Lando.
Your baby.
Yeah, I said that a long time ago.
I personally think the X-Wing community as a whole is one of the biggest communities that I know of that is just, they jump to conclusions so fast. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know, I mean, Handbrake Han, don't get me wrong. That is 1.0 incarnate and 2.0. I agree with that. It has a lot of that same card game, but I don't think it's as, I think it requires more skill than people were giving it credit for.
Yeah. We talked about that last week that, Blair Bunky beat Andrew Bunn twice with using, a Rebel mini swarm. Because Andrew just made one mistake in both games, boosted in the wrong place. I do think, though, that I'd like to know how many people brought it to the tournament, because it seems to me, maybe you guys, this is a good, what do you guys think? Vince, unfortunately, you wouldn't have a big gauge on it, but you might have something to contribute. It seems to me like seriously. It seems to me like players in 2.0 are actually more concerned about bringing things that are fun for themselves and their opponents. Am I just projecting on them because FFG's got things a little bit better balanced? Or is that a real thing, do you guys think?
I'm not really in a position to say. I don't know the community that well.
I'm honestly just getting back into it. I mean, I'm what, 2 weeks into to 2.0, so
yeah,
I really don't have a good reference point, but I could see people, since it's still, I mean, it's not new, but it's fairly new, right? So people might still be in that honeymoon phase where they're just flying what's fun versus what's good, right? It took a couple of years until people started like really refining lists and net listing for 1.0, right?
Right. But
so, I mean, it's still that honeymoon period, I think.
I mean, net listing's not exactly what I mean, because I've never really thought that anybody should have a problem with net listing.
I agree.
X-Wing doesn't have the literal millions and billions of combinations and permutations that Magic has. There's only so many ways you can build Han that is a really good build for Han. And the idea that one person came up with it and that's it, it's his forever, is absurd.
It kind of sounds, when you guys say things like that, it kind of reminds me of hearing stand-up comics talk about jokes, where you never want to accuse anyone of joke stealing. And, you know, they all spend so much time hanging out and throwing bouncing material off each other that sometimes you'll pick something up and not realize where you got it from, or, you know, accidentally repeat it and then go, oh, God, I totally stole that.
I think that's a good analogy. Yeah,
I did read through the whole event, all 162 players. There were 11 lists that I counted with either the Handbrake Han or Handbrake Han and Jake.
Okay,
so I control F. There's 16 Han Solos in the tournament out of 160.
So 10%. So
basically 10%.
Right, but the funniest thing is there's about what, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven of them are 125th and lower.
Yeah, they,
so about half are real down there.
Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people bought into the hype on that list, I think. And Jeff, you know this. I said immediately that I don't think this list is broken. I think Jack Mooney's been playing one thing for years, and now he's really good with it.
Yeah, I don't think it's broken in that it is. I don't think it's broken the way Trip Ups was broken. I don't think it's broken, frankly, the way that Quad Phantoms is broken. And let's talk about four Quad Phantoms in the top 16, but or four Phantom lists.
Five. Well, but, yeah, four Quad Phantoms and one Vader and three Imdars.
Right. I do think that Handbrake Han is too much 1E. I just think that it is the design stuff in 1E that 2E was supposed to get rid of. And yep, that's what I hate about it. And honestly, the fact that it didn't do well showed that a lot of people thought it was a low skill list and they were wrong, but it doesn't change that it is combinations of cards that are abusive, and it makes it more of a card game than a maneuver game. And that's just the design choice I don't like.
How do we feel about not a single, because I don't think I see any, not one Republic list in the cut?
Sad.
I don't mind because I don't own any Republic.
What was that, Jeff?
I don't actually own any Republic.
Are you sure?
Well, it's funny you should mention. I've purchased some Republic. I don't actually have it yet. So
you own it. It just hasn't been delivered.
I mean, I don't really know the legalities of that. It's sort of a legal limbo state. Right now, I'm just gonna stick with I don't actually own any Republic yet.
Okay, but you will be joining us in the 21st century. Basically what you've admitted.
I couldn't resist, man. I just couldn't. The arcs are so sweet. I just couldn't. I couldn't hold out.
I'm gonna add another prediction to my long list of being correct on both this and the 40K show. Jeff will be buying Naboo N1 Starfighters by the end of this year.
I've already planned. I'm buying one Naboo Starfighter just because I have a sickness. I'm a completionist.
You're a complete. Yes, that is.
And it's like,
that is a disease.
Sure, that's a great excuse.
I've noticed.
That's a great excuse.
But
I'm going to be buying two of them because the Handmaidens are going to change this game, and maybe not for the better, I have to say. Dan, have you read up on what rules have been leaked for the Handmaidens?
I am not up to date with that one.
So this came out on Reddit a few days ago, and we didn't really get a chance to talk about it.
I'm going to repeat it.
The high-res images for the Handmaidens and the decoyed ability on the Naboos are fantastic. What you do is you assign a token to it at the beginning of a game you take the decoy token from one of the Naboos and assign it to another ship. If the Naboo is within 0 to 1 of that ship can spend the Naboo's evade to change a blank or a focus to an evade. If you assign it to another Naboo, they add a full evade result.
The idea is that they are pretending to be each other, so you don't know who you're shooting
right at.
You are literally blinded by the shiny chrome.
Hopefully they're priced correctly, but that sounds really awesome. I like that.
And you know they've got full throttle too, right, Dan?
Say that again?
They've got full throttle.
Oh, I forgot to mention they have full throttle built in.
Yeah.
Right.
So they generate their own evades and then they share them between them at will.
Try spinning.
Now that said, oh God.
We don't even need Drew. Dan does it naturally.
That said, they are 2-die ships, and there is so far no indication, right, that there's anything like the 7B on the horizon for the Naboo. So
I would not expect there to be.
Yeah. So you know they can be fairly aggressively priced, at least at first. We'll see.
And they're only 2 attack dice, so yeah, that's
yeah, and they are only 2 evade, which is another serious, you know. Normally something very, very fast in a straight line in X-Wing does get 3 dice.
They're only 2 agility.
They're 2-2, 2-2, 2-3.
They'll be quite reasonable.
Yeah. So coming back in this game, I'm basically focusing on the Republic and the Separatists, just because, you know, it's the new toys, whatever. Also, another excuse is, you know, all my hyperspace lists are going to be legal for extended if I ever wanted to extend it. But I'm kind of annoyed with the Republic that Anakin is literally flying every ship.
He's the Republic Sabine.
Fair. That's fair. All right. But it's so early. It's like, you know, if I want to fly, you know, the new Y-Wing and, you know, if I want to like do some ace stuff, it's like, I really, I got to choose where my Anakin is. I can't have a six and a six.
Yeah.
You know, like Imperials can or Rebels, right? I there's no option for a six and a six. And that's what I'm like, I'm kind of frustrated about.
Well, I mean, these are two brand new factions. I think Plo Koon was a really badly missed opportunity for an extra ace in the Jedi.
I think Plo Koon and Obi-Wan, their pilot skills should have been switched.
They're the same, aren't they? They're both five.
Yeah, they're five and five, yeah.
Oh, I thought Plo was a four. My bad.
No, he's a five.
Okay, Mace, I don't think Obi-Wan should be a five.
A lot of people said that originally.
Fluff-wise, I agree.
Fluff-wise, I'm not sure I agree. It, only because at no point was it ever indicated he was bad. He just doesn't enjoy it.
I mean,
fair.
How do you get to be a five if you don't enjoy flying?
I mean,
natural talent. I mean,
yeah, you can just sometimes you're just good at stuff. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you know you particularly enjoy it. You're just, hey, I'm better than everybody else. And I mean, that's kind of Obi-Wan's thing.
That's fair.
But I thought Plo Koon should have been a six. But they probably didn't want to give Republic a really good ace at six and a really good support at six.
Yeah, they didn't want to give two Aether Sprites a six.
Yeah, yeah, that I could see that being a problem. I could see that being a problem for sure.
Because Republic's tearing it up in hyperspace with sixes and fours.
Right.
I mean, I really don't want to imagine having to deal with a perfect knowledge 10-point bid double initiative six rebel list. Republic.
People are doing pretty well with Anakin and Ahsoka.
That's because Ahsoka is Republic Jake.
Yeah.
But for others too, as well. Like it's not just for herself; it's for Anakin as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that's that spiciness.
And super. Luminara is not far off either. There's a lot of people who are successfully using her in big swarms of torrents.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they do have that natural evade and she can downgrade, you know, anything coming into them, which I've always thought was probably the best use of her.
Yep. Although, you know, there's always that bullseye you got to get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that is always the twist, but how often do you really get a well-flown Aether Sprite dead ahead of you, even with initiative?
True.
Trust me, I'm having trouble with it. That's why the first chance I got, I pulled out all of my Republic stuff and threw Anakin, Luminara, and double golds on the table. And I clapped a Vader Psi whisper list. I mean, I clapped him. It was not close.
Nice. Well, so he's killing himself. That's like, come on.
Man. What?
Anakin and Vader, he was killing himself.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a cool little, Avengers Civil War style kind of game. But no mercy. I think Darth Vader's, I don't want to say overpowered. Jeff doesn't like that word either. I've tried to stop using it. I think Vader on his card and with the ability to take a one straight is probably still too good.
Yeah.
And you're starting to notice it.
That like, one straight, yeah.
I get it. There's a reason Rebels have one straights. It's because they have two or one evade die. Vader's got three and the Force and double actions any turn he wants. Mm-hmm. That's a problem with a one straight.
People have always underestimated the slow maneuvers in terms of their tactical ability, you know, in the scrum. That's why I was just boggled when they gave the Phantom a one bank. I was like, right, Dan?
I was playing against some Brian on Thursday, and he brought Whisper, and he looked at the dial. I'm like, wait, well, they have a one slight now? That's ridiculous. What? Like, oh my god, that is so good.
You know,
we were talking about Handbrake Han in the cut. Let's take a look at Darth Vader. Five lists in the top 18 had Darth Vader in them. Five.
Wow. Yeah, that's impressive.
Right. Well, so what I'm seeing is there's not a lot of the Luke Skywalker Han Solo, and I think that's the key for killing the Darth Vaders.
Yeah.
Because without Luke, you can just beat Vader and arc dodge and, you know, whatever. I don't care. You can't hit me anyways. So that's, if there was a Han Solo with Luke, I think that has a much better game against
Vader. Yeah, it is interesting. People seem to be still shying away from paying those 26 points, even after Jack's incredible showing.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Lukes. I think the first, yeah, Nicholas 37th has Luke on his.
I think the problem is that a coordinated wedge is better than a super natty Luke.
Coordinated wedge.
Every U-wing is capable of giving Wedge a free barrel.
Right. Right. And that's fair.
That will do more to keep Vader under control because you're now turning him into a two evade ship. And that's how you nullify his double action. That's how you nullify his, you know, ability to use all three of his force.
In order to do that reliably, you do have to outbid Vader, which Rebel Beef tends to not do.
That's true.
But with Handbrake Han, you can very easily.
Yeah.
You can.
It's kind of hard with to get Luke, away from.
Even with Luke, if you're really worried about the Vader. With
Luke and Jake.
Yeah. Like, even. There's ways to do it, right? Like, I don't think you really need the Millennium Falcon title. Like, it's 6 points gone right there.
That the title just doesn't do enough, which I don't disagree with.
I mean, another.
I mean, you've got all the Han Solo rerolls. Who you don't need the evade. You want focus. Like, focus is probably just fine.
Three tries to roll an evade. That is pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah.
I'm going to do very quick math here. You guys carry on.
Yeah, not a problem. Dan, are there any other lists here that jumped out to you? We should probably talk about, I think, the only scum list in the cut. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. The only non-Dreya list in the cut, which was
18th?
Yeah, Mr. Dwayne Lehman with, it looks like, a Y-Wing, a gunboat, and... Nim. I don't know what Tarani Kolda is.
That's the
M12
Kimogila.
Oh, wow! I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
Fun game to watch. I was watching that game. I was like, "What's happening? What is this list?"
Yeah,
it was fun to watch.
That's a great pilot ability.
Yeah, it is.
That's a very good pilot ability, especially if you combine it with a lot of lower initiative ships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you guys are interested, when you roll an evade die three times, the odds of, or the chance of not getting an evade is 25%. So you're going to get an evade three out of four times if you're rolling it three times. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Still, I mean,
well, it's one of the things
I can see why people would want to spend that 6 points somewhere else.
It's one of the things that I dropped on my Han that I couldn't get to work anyway.
Right, because I mean, if you're stopping, I mean, you're just effectively trying to arc dodge at that point, so you don't really need the evade action. But I think the interview with I'm forgetting his name, but he was saying he was gonna originally fly the Phantoms. But all he had was he forgot his Phantom stuff and he forgot the dials in one of his pockets or something. So he's just like, oh, I guess I'm flying Han and Jake. And he just literally threw everything. Yeah. Who was it who talked to him? It was a different podcast, but what they were saying is he just left the Phantom dials in a different pocket.
There are other podcasts?
Surprising. Weird, huh?
Oh, Jeff. So nice to me. But we don't. Nobody has anything on this scum list, huh? Where I've never seen anything like this.
What number is it? I remember watching that game, but 18.
18th. He was the lowest. The lowest guy to make.
Yeah. So I watched that play-in game between them, and he made some mistakes that I remember. He played pretty well, but he made some mistakes that I remember.
I think he lost the Jakku really early, and it caused him to take one damage on, like, two of his ships
from
Deadman Switch. which that's sucks, but I mean, it sucks to happen like that, but I mean, there's a lot going on in this list.
Well, it's a lot of double tap, and, like, and then you've got, it's three chips that can all double tap, and then you've got the gun runner up front
with the tractor
to die, basically, and the tractor
and
beats something.
And everything's pretty beefy. It's got a lot of health on that in that list, so it's kind of like, okay, well, you choose what you're going to attack, and I'm going to kill you with the other three. You know, it's,
I think
it seems pretty solid.
I count 10 from Kolda, I think 9 from Nim, and then 9 from the Y-Wing, and then 5 and then on the five from the. So 33 health.
That's not bad.
No, not with, you know, 7 attacks.
With all that offense? Yeah.
And bombs. Cluster, I mean, he's got size 3 charges.
Yeah. Cluster missiles on Tirani, like this, there's a lot of offense.
Yeah, I recommend when it comes up on YouTube, I do recommend watching it. It was an entertaining game. I was pretty happy with it.
I look forward to that. I think that was one of the ones I missed on Sunday while I was working. Jeff, your all-time favorite, Heftober, still making his usual appearance in the cut.
Yeah, yeah. I think
that's an interesting list, actually.
Can we talk about number 14?
Yeah, Justin Mazua. Yeah. I love this, actually. Especially Blount with Arvel and Heftober. I mean, you have one of the few guys that can get an extra die at very long range, paired with a pair of guys who, when they get close to you, make you less efficient defensively. And then you have Wedge. So you can, you know, pop Wedge and Blount next to each other.
Yeah, and two ships with intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
Wedge dropping it another one. So you take Darth Vader. Yeah. If you manage to get both of them onto, say, an IG, that IG has one agility.
Yeah, I mean, then you have just a little bandit squadron flying around as your third blocker.
You have your bandit squadron doing actual damage against the ship against Darth Vader.
Heresy. No. Let's not get crazy here. Because probably what happens is that poor little bandit's the first thing that gets melted.
Well, you know. Then something else didn't get shot. I'm sure that happened to him.
Yeah, that's probably true. I love Lieutenant Blount. I thought I've always felt he's one of the best deals, you know, like kind of discount damage dealers in Rebels. And there just hasn't been a base for him. He's 30 base. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty close to what he was 1.0. 15-ish, right?
I think, yeah. Well, Kraken was 18 and 1.0.
Might have been 18, huh?
I think Blount was 17 or 16.
So 15-ish, yeah.
Pretty close, though. Why am I even playing
this? Yeah, and Blount was jumping up in a lot of those four-ship Rebel lists when Jan was still a thing, because it was so easy to get him a four-die shot.
Yeah.
I've always loved him. If I could fit him into a list these days, I'd be very excited to, but he just doesn't fit how I play, unfortunately. Well, I think we've exhausted our examination of the Denver Open. Let's cross-examine our guest here a little bit. Dan, you're coming in this after a very, very long absence. What made you quit? Was it time? Did you not enjoy the game? And what brought you back?
So easiest one for me is what brought me back is, you know, the Republic and the Separatist. There was a tournament locally. Someone was posting pictures of it on Facebook. I was following along with the pictures. I'm like, man, that looks really fun. Man, I missed that. Man, and so, like, the next week I was, you know, back into it. I stopped playing because with the YouTube channel that we were running, with playing games, with trying to be competitive, I was burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no other, I was just burnt out. But yeah, I mean, there was no, it's not that I didn't like the game. I still liked 1.0. It was kind of, you know, abysmal near the end there, but it was still a fun game to play for the most part.
Yeah, it was still fun if you had a good enough, large enough group of people who were still willing to just experiment with stuff. Like, we could still, before you quit, we could still get 8 or 10 people at Anime Imports to play a tournament, and it was still fun.
Yep.
For those who don't know, Vince mentioned Dan was one of Trinity Squad Gaming. He had two partners, Jocelyn and John. I don't want to dox them too hard, so we'll just stick with Jocelyn and John. And they did videos of games. They would record games at primarily local tournaments, and then they didn't stream the games. This was sort of before Gold Squadron podcast and the other streamers exploded.
Echo Base. And
yeah. Well,
back to Diamonds, right, and all these
games. This was before they exploded. So they would record the games, and then the guys would edit them and provide commentary, speed up the parts where it slowed down, explain what was going on at the table that might have been confusing for viewers and things like that. And these were very popular videos. At least, I mean, if you go and you look, they've got a lot of views on a lot of these videos. But so I asked Dan, I'm going to let him tell you in his own words, but I asked him why he quit. Why did you guys quit doing that with Trinity Squad Gaming?
So just as a little more back information, myself, John, and Jocelyn, none of us were really trained with video editing or recording or commentary or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So our strategy for our overlays and all of our editing, it took literally three times the amount of playtime of the video to just edit the video. And that doesn't come in. That does not include time to commentate and time to upload.
Sure.
So each of our videos was, you know, it took four times the amount of time the video were to actually get it uploaded to YouTube. And, you know, all of our videos are between 30 to an hour.
Yeah.
Right. And we were putting out, you know, 2 to 3 videos a week. Sometimes we just didn't have the manpower, and we just burnt out on it. I mean, you know, I'm a competitive player at heart, and I wanted to be good at the game, but I also wanted to do the YouTube channel. So it's like, I couldn't do both. I couldn't keep both up at the rate that we were doing it.
Yeah. I'm constantly, I love editing this show. Let me be perfectly clear. This is one of the things that I've always thought, you know, wanted to do with my free time. And I'm lucky enough to have a schedule now that allows for it. And I can sense, you know, why somebody would burn out on something like this fairly, you know, even after an extended amount of time, when you think you've got it figured out and down to a strategy for everything, a process for everything. Is Trinity Squadron in danger, shall we say, of coming back?
I can't say for John and Jocelyn, but I would be lying if I haven't started researching it.
Wait a second. I completely got lost in that. I have no idea whether that was a yes or a no.
That was a perfect quality United States government explanation right there.
Perfect. That's what happens when you work for the government for like 4 years. But no, so basically, I can't say for Joss or John, but I mean, I've looked, I'm researching. Mm. I'm not going to confirm. I'm not going to say yes, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to say no, I'm not going to do it. Because honestly, I loved creating the content and then being able to see people actively enjoying it, right? Like, that was the best part of it for me. And then going to random tournaments where I'm just like, just some random person I'm not even recording that tournament, and people would come up to me and be like, oh my god, you're the guy from the videos. I'm like, oh yeah. Like, for example, at Worlds, the one year I went to Worlds, my first round opponent was Justin Fua, the world champion.
Mm-hmm.
And he sets up across the table, I set up my stuff, and he's like, you're that guy from Trinity Squad Gaming, huh? I'm not even kidding. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's awesome. Good to meet you. And he's like, yeah, you know, I watch your videos all the time. I'm like, that's awesome, dude. He proceeds to stomp my list in the ground with, I think I didn't even get a single point off of him.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh man, he's playing Dangartel. I got my three strikers and Palp. This is going to be great. And I just get demolished. And it was really brutal. And then after, you know, we congratulate, he's like, yeah, dude, these are the guys why I'm so good, to John and myself. I'm like, oh, that was so sweet of you to say that.
Nice little ego massage after removing your limbs one at a time. It's always
people
nice.
Do yeah. still yeah. On the FFG forums and on Reddit, people do still say whenever TSG comes up, people still do. Whatever happened to those guys? Is there any chance they're going to come back? So now we know that Biden is running and Trinity Squad Gaming is on the way back.
Biden is running and TSP lives. Very good. I love that. All right. Well, let's get in a couple last notes here, guys. It is getting kind of late. And without Drew, we're not in danger of running an hour and 40-minute episode. A little bit of flavor on the way out. Dan, favorite Star Wars movie, favorite Star Wars quote, and favorite shift?
Woo! That's a lot of... Okay. My favorite Star Wars movie is Empire. Empire Strikes Back has always been my favorite. I don't care if that makes me basic. I just... That's always been my favorite.
Isn't it more basic if you prefer A New Hope?
No.
Okay.
Because, I mean, everyone so likes
I think,
A New Hope.
I think Vince doesn't Empire... know the slang basic. Basic in slang possibly means you're ratchet. You're lame.
I know what basic means.
You're just a basic
bitch. I'm a suburban white kid. I exactly know what basic
means. There you go.
All right, okay. My bad. Okay. My bad.
Yeah, I just, everyone I ask, and every time I look at, like, you know, oh, people talking about it, it's always Empire. And I don't care. I love Empire, too. My favorite ship has to be the Y-Wing. I don't know why. I've always loved the design of that ship since I was a little kid. I mean, not necessarily to fly on the board, but actually as a ship. It has to
it's
be the Y-Wing.
It's the nacelles, right? It's the engine nacelles. Like the cage for the engines. Yeah. I always loved that. I was like, that's so cool. It's
so, and then my favorite quote, I would probably have to say the quote I actually use more in conversation than I ever thought I would is, well, from my point of view, the Jedi are liars. Like, for some reason, that quote, I use that maybe once, twice a week, like in a non, like just, you know, talking about something else, and someone will say you're lying, and I'm like, well, in my point
of view, it's marriage. That's what stuff. He uses. He uses it as a marriage.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep.
This is why we don't allow Jeff to talk about personal stuff on the show. Thank you, Dan, very much for your time and for appropriating Drew's supply of prequel memes. Jeff, thank you, sir, always for joining us. Folks, as you heard it here, no official word, but be on the lookout in case Trinity Squad ever does return. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me.
You guys have a good week.
Thank you.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.